I let my take, 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 rock to my take, to my take, to my take, to my take, to my
take, to so we're the first ones here. I already sent them the link. Now he needs to log in. So that's how it works.
I'm here.
Oh, you there?
Yeah.
Is that the clock we was waiting on? That's Ray, by the way.
That's Ray. Hey, yo, it's Eric on the phone.
How you doing, Eric? I know you're
what
spot.
Up, bro? I'm chilling, bro. How you?
Yeah. Good, bro. Drinking, smoking. Eat, bloody eating.
That's what's up. Live life, man.
Yeah, okay, cool. So we are here. Word up. Hey, yo, what's up? This is your man, Mr. Bach, in the freaking building. Sitting here with my man, D Strong. What up? Capital E is up in the bay. What up, Capital E?
What up? I'm sitting here drinking an Irish Red Ale, not to be confused with an Indian Pale Ale. It's an IR.
Right. Drinking a fat tire, smoking a fat blunt. And my man, D-Strong.
What's going on?
And we got a special guest in the house too. We got my man Razor Ramon and
Major Clint out.
Okay. Clint out.
Okay. Get with me,
hijo. In the freaking building. So, and y'all can curse. Don't trip. I just been saying freaking, but you know, the more I smoke, the more I drink, the more I curse.
No, I don't really fucking curse that.
I don't fucking curse.
Cursing has never been my fucking thing. Yo, Big E, you know what kind of animals that you have on the line right now?
I got a good idea, but I'm willing to find out.
It's about to go down, my dude. So, we're in here. It's Till the Tape Pops is the name of the show. And we are doing a live podcast with all my peoples and all my fans. So thank y'all all for coming up to this 13th episode. It's our 13th episode, which is my lucky number. So,
oh my God, thank you.
Yeah, man, no problem. So we're going to just talk shit and talk a lot of good shit for this whole episode.
Word.
Get ready. Hold down.
Live and direct.
In your face. Yeah. So what we're doing is D Strong is our guest for the day. We are all sitting out in fucking Victorville, California.
Yeah.
In the backyard of my boy Rizzo.
We're poolside at Major Cloud's crib.
Ooh. Yes.
Nice.
Poolside. Chilling like grown men.
Boricuas in the house. I mean, you gotta say that real quick. We just got done grilling some jerk chicken.
And
we made some St. Louis style ribs.
Yes.
And we thinly sliced some pork chops and marinated them in some Puerto Rican marinara, and it's fucking delicious.
Incredible.
Yeah. And you know, beans, you know, the baked
you
beans,
know, we gotta potato salad, beans,
you know,
potato
the regular
salad.
Shit.
Yeah. You know.
Too much out for it. Too much alcohol.
That's ingredient number one.
Yeah.
So yesterday we went to a show and my man D Strong was on the bill. It was
Click's birthday.
Right. My man Click the Super Latin. It was his birthday, 50th.
Got a lot of footage.
Yo, y'all can check that out at tillthetapepops.com and newcomedia.com. And you can always on the freaking Mixcloud.
You need to go there. Like, if you haven't been there, you need to go there. Because
I'm most definitely.
You know, I mean, you know, E.
I'm trying to let them know.
They need to go.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to hear what real hip hop is about these days, and, you know, music is so segregated now, right? I mean, there's no major radio station that you listen to anymore to get your music. There's no, back beats that you go in and buy your records and your albums for them to find out what's hot.
No,
you just got to go out and learn.
Right.
And we are motherfuckers to tell you. So, D did the show yesterday. D, first off, tell me about your set. You did two songs.
Uh-huh.
What were the songs you did?
I did a song called Bogart, which was a song off of an album that was put out in 2013. The collaboration with a Switzerland producer by the name of Dave Sparks. Now this guy, Dave Sparks, I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy, but you should follow his Instagram. You know what? Here's something that nobody knows. I'm the only MC that ever did the album with that guy. All he does is instrumentals. Nice. No. And I just seen him on Instagram, and he's playing the piano. Like,
oh, he's moved on. He ain't even doing it.
No, he's been, but I mean, that's how musically trained he was. I didn't know he was that ill. I finally got him on Instagram, and he's playing a grand piano.
Virtuoso.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of Mark Rebillets out there, right?
Exactly.
And they're doing geniuses. Yeah, geniuses.
Yeah, you know what? That's dope. Because, you know, the whole thing is that musicality has come back to music. And that's the greatest part of all.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. Because there was a point where everybody was doing these 4-bar loops and now it's doing it. You know? You could just, it was a, you know, like a staple. You could just go into any DAW, any digital audio workstation, and just like, oh, give me number 4 and put that with a number 3 and you know, right. All this freaking freeze-dried beats and everything for years.
Right.
And click. Yeah. Point-and-click beats. I love that. Point-and-click beats. So now with the whole emergence of real musicianship and hooks have come back and bridges have come back, it's an amazing time to be alive. You know?
Okay.
I mean, there's so many different lanes and all these people want to pick lanes, but you know, it to me, I think a lane is a cop-out, you know? Be original, you know?
Right.
Just be original. Yeah. What do you think about that, D?
Man, so we were talking about, of course, originality, man. That's always the major thing. Because, I mean, a lot of people are putting music out now that is actually original. Here's something I had to get used to, is that a lot of people are putting out some original music. It's not, it might not sound good to your ears. It's their original creation.
This is true.
But it just might not sound good to your original ears.
This is original garbage.
Yeah.
Right. It's called basura.
Yeah, basura. Right.
Basura. Not it, Biggie.
Yeah. But
I was listening to Flying Lotus one day, and he was saying that somebody had asked him about, you know, how they're making it easier to make music, and what his thoughts were about musicians coming out and having the ability to make this music, but not the ability to make the music. He said, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting time because, oil will rise to the top, you know.
Right.
You give all these tools to everybody, and eventually you'll see who actually has the talent.
Yeah. Right.
Look at
me. Separating the wheat from the chaff.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. With the rise of lo-fi hip-hop, with the rise of new jazz, with the rise of boom bap, the rise of 2000 era music, it just comes to show that over the course of these five to 7 years, that trap and whatever else, mumble rap, whatever we call it, has been out there. It has had some relevance, but not a stick-to-itiveness. You know, it's not something that people are saying, I want to continue to listen to this, because they're going back and revamping and going back and remaking the older stuff.
When you I parked Lyft Drive this year, all
right? Right.
People actually catch with it. But I, you know, some of the people, that's what they want to hear, bro, you know? And I'm like, I think we put on, I'm not going to name names or whatever, but we put on that artist, and I was like, I don't want to hear this guy, you know? And she's like, why? And like, I don't even hear it. Gotta fix that music.
Yeah.
And I was like, put on what you want to hear. And it was like 3 kids. They were probably in their 19 to 21 age. I was like, I just put on my Google Play, whatever I was playing. And Large Professor came on. It was like, I'm just hanging out. And they were just like, you see them like, oh shit. I see everybody bopping their head in the car, you know. But yeah, and then they're asking, who's that? I was like, I tell them, you know, they just haven't heard it.
How could they? Right. When there's in this age, you don't have, there's no radio stations. All you have is a player.
Right. Yeah. This would be a nationwide old school. At least I say old school, but
no. But do you realize the impact that you just had by doing that, by opening their brain?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That. Google searching this guy.
That was a win-win right there.
Yeah.
But for real hip hop, that was a real win. Right.
Fight back.
Oh, who's that? Oh, here he is.
Right.
Take it and run with it and tell your friends.
Right.
And that can spread.
That's right. You had mentioned how there's researchers in hip hop, old school music. What do you think that is? What do you think that? Why do you think that is? Why do you think that hip hop has made this kind of retrograde revamping?
Because there's money in it. I think that they know they can get them back into that. It's like a circle, I guess. I don't know. They definitely, because it's undeniable, first of all. But I mean, if there's not money to be made in it, then not a lot of problems.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is a lot of money in it, and that the powers that be, anytime they see what's going on, they're going to react to it. But they don't run anything. They're not the trendsetters themselves.
Right. No.
But the trendsetters themselves are the ones who actually started this whole movement, like, what, about 5 or 6 years ago? Well, maybe 3 years ago, right? About three.
Yeah, the industry is always behind the curve, but where the underground is always setting the trend.
Right. And so going out to these clubs about 3 years ago in Hollywood, you know, in L.A., South Central, you know, which those areas are the popping spots now for college, you know, kids and all of that. Going out to those spots, you hear 2000 era stuff. And I'm not just talking about G-Unit. I'm talking about O.C. Right. You know, I'm talking about Mos Def and Black Star. And, you know, I'm just, so that resurgence. I think that resurgence has a lot to do with the fact that in this society, they've created such a wave, an anti-wave, right? That people are so responding to social media that they're going to go one way or the other. So you have those that are going to say, oh, yeah, that's great. And then you're going to have those that just because people said it's great, that they're going to say, that sucks, right? That's that society that we've raised over these last 15 years. So I think that has a lot to do with why we've seen this resurgence of this 2000 era, because they see that, okay, this is some garbage that's out here right now, and y'all are telling me to listen to it, so I'm going to listen to something else.
Right.
And that's why I think the college kids are the ones who got hit with it first, and now these kids, so they're after them, are kind of flip-flopping themselves. Like, I'm looking at my son who's 16, and I have another son who's 20, right? So I'm looking at the 20-year-old, and a 16-year-old, and they're at odds with music. It's completely different styles of music, you know, which is interesting because over the course of 4 years, you would think that they would still be in that same vein. Because back in the day, like we were saying before, E, about the 10-year gap that we used to have,
generation gap,
music, of eras of music, right? And now it's what, two years tops, 3 years maybe.
That's what it seems like. Yeah.
So now you have this whole. Because everything's new and improved, right? They have to research everything, revamp everything.
Right.
You know, you come out with a song, you know, this year, 2 years later, somebody else is doing it. You're just using your beat and doing a remake using your chorus.
Right. Man, you know what I used to remember, bro? It bugged me out was back in the day, like in the 90s, we were working when Mega was producing us, okay? So we would do these songs and 2 years later, Premier would come out with that same track. It was like almost the same loop, everything was the same. Man, that's our shit.
Yep.
But it's not ours though. He just, because we didn't have a connection.
There was no way.
Connection. But it was like, we had that one. And then, but Max had a lot, Mega had a lot of those. Like, as he was looking, Rock's using another, like a year after Mega done it. Rocks dude.
Yeah.
That dude was way ahead of
time. Yeah, Mega's a beast.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about
we just got a bunch of files from him yesterday too.
right?
Fantastic.
You're talking about Mega Lodge, the main producer for Last Con. Let's go back to what the people don't know what we're talking about right now. The fact that D-Strong is an MC that actually came from the late 80s, early 90s era, right?
Hall of Famer. Right. Hall of Famer. 86er.
Hall of Famer.
86er. And
that's the first written rhyme. 86.
Oh, first written rhyme was in 86, bro?
First written.
Yeah. Hey, you remember any of it?
There's some of it I think I remember.
Alright, so we're gonna try and let you melt on it. We might come back with a little person later on. Yo, hey.
Bro, you know,
man, come on, man.
You know, I went
to high school, high school with this cat, man. I don't know what he's talking about, man. We ain't
get it connected.
We were smoking. Yeah, we were smoking ribs, chickens, man. So yeah,
that chicken came out.
Chicken Hey, I'm gonna have to throw some pics of the food on the website.
Definitely do that.
To the table.
I want to see. I'll make the plate. Yeah, I'll put it in. You can make the perfect picture.
Yeah, I'm not a dude who throws food on IG, but you probably see that today.
I think it calls for it today.
I think so, bro. I think we got to do that. So, but yeah, so. In 86 is when he started rapping. And then what happened? What was the catalyst for you to say that you wanted to do this as a lifestyle?
Well, we always were just, raised right here. We always were just a crew doing rap. It was what we did every day. It was just like something that pushed us towards something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, we didn't realize we had skills until people started trying to battle us.
Right.
Then we started to see them. Yeah, you're right, bro.
Yeah.
And it's, my God, you're garbage.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, if I really actually fucking start thinking about this,
yeah,
I'm gonna fuck you in the ass with lyrics. And that's what we did. Everywhere we went, we served everybody. It was surreal, because it was like you had some kind of superpowers lyrically.
Yeah, well, it did feel like that. It was like Dungeons and Dragons shit. I'm just coming out,
chomping niggas. These motherfuckers just wanted to beat us up just because we were doper.
Man.
Yo, sometimes we would stand up, sometimes we had to break the fuck out before we got fucked.
Ooh, I remember.
Because it was like, yo, motherfucking pretty boy, get your ass.
Man.
Just to destroy them in front of their people.
Man, we used to go to different high schools back in the day. Yeah. We used to, because we went to Losing.
Yes, sir. You was there, Jay.
Yes, sir. I was part of the crew. Part of the crew. We get to meet with some other day. But I was there to witness. And
I remember we think we would have a battle. We had a battle at Westchester High School. Click had one motorcycle. He drove Ray to the spot, to the high school, and came back and got me at Losinger and took me there back over there just so we could battle.
Man, it was battle scars, bro. He was like,
Click was on that motorcycle, bro. And Click was the beatbox. We were just at his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, Click was super loud.
Yeah, man.
Man,
happy birthday, Click.
Big up
to
Ross
and Kill. Yeah, showing up at Kill too.
Definitely.
That was dope.
Blessings.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was. So then, you went from riding on the back of motorcycles with Click to what made you go further? Like, okay, so you were doing what at that time? Like, what compelled you to take on hip hop more seriously?
I don't know, it was just a passion. I like to write, you know, I've always liked to write, so that kind of fed that need, you know.
Was there a thing that happened, like a talent show or a thing that.
Oh man, we had all the talents. That was other things. I mean, other things. It was just so we were doing well at it, you know.
Right.
And it was being acknowledged that we were good at it, and so that's why, you know, yeah, I just kept doing it. Things have changed over the years. You know, you get the crews. I mean, we were in the same crew, bro. I know we're trying to tell the story.
Yeah, I can't. People know. People got to know.
Check this out. You be quiet. Let me tell the whole story, bro.
Exactly.
Let me tell you how I used to ride scooters to Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
Oh, man. It's free, bro. Everything we say is real. Anyway. So, yeah, man. This guy, I'll fill in some blanks here. Man, I know for a fact that we used to do a lot of battling of a lot of different cats.
Oh, yeah, we battled a lot.
Yeah, and well-known people, not just like...
A lot of freestyle fellowship.
Yeah, freestyle fellowship. You were a part of Good Life back in the day.
Good Life, all of us were some of the first people to be at Good Life.
Right. And
up there when they would boo you, you know, if they didn't know you. They started to know you, they're like, oh, yeah, that's just
us. Okay. Yeah, but you know what's funny? They would boo you, but then after you get off stage, they kill up a gang of cats and come be like, yo, bro, you killed it.
Crazy.
That's how it was.
They just had the first one just come in there, and then everybody, it was like a family. Because once everybody knew each other, the owner knew you, be good.
Yeah, and because, you know, but we were also kind of, outsiders, because when we came in, it was because we came in from Katie's Moving Arts, because that actually started prior to the Good Life. And then Good Life led to Project Glow.
Right.
And then we went to Project Glow too.
Yep.
And
blew
that up.
A couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. That was violation. Let's leave AC alone. I mean, leave that alone.
Ooh.
That's not a shit. Right. But
that's good play.
So back in the day, man, you know, a lot of people, all of the hip hop game was a little less congested, and so it was, everybody knew each other a little more thoroughly, meaning not just knew each other that, oh yeah, I've seen him on the stage before, but maybe he was in a cypher with him, maybe it was you know,
because a lot of stuff was going on then.
Right.
I mean, you could find cyphers, bro. That it was stuff.
Definitely,
was
there great. Was no lack of cyphers
throughout the early '90s and
LA,
the late '80s. There was all kinds of cyphers.
No
you
lack.
You could find people. You just walk through the mall. Man, like, you rap. It's like, yeah, all right, let's go.
You remember?
Yeah, it'll be like that.
Remember the call? Yeah. Oh, those fools over there look like they rap.
It was battling, and there was this baller, and he was like, all right, whoever wins gets this.
Gets
like
a 50.
It was like 50.
Yeah, he had a 50, and he said,
and then
we all battled. We killed them dudes. Yeah, we destroyed them guys. And they were like, and ripped it in half and gave it to us both. Like, for real?
That was bullshit. So we had to tape it together and split it.
Yeah.
And we're kids, bro. We're like, what, 16, 17?
Yeah, 16. I think we were like 16. Yeah, 17. 16. Yeah, because by 17, we were in Katie Performing Arts. That's when that started. 16. Yeah, because there was the local radio station, 1580 Katie Performing Arts. And this guy, Rory Kaufman.
Rory, and that guy, he put together a lot of people, man. He pushed a lot of people, and they became moguls, man.
I never heard Rory Kaufman's name mentioned. And I mean, yeah, you know, it was a crazy time, but putting those shows together and just putting those people on that stage meant something. I mean, if Greg Mack, can have his name out there, then I think Rory Kaufman will. He was definitely instrumental.
He worked right at the same time.
Yeah, he was instrumental during that time. You know, and I mean, when I'm talking about Katie Performing Arts, we have a list of Katie Performing Arts alumni, like D, and Ray, aka Razor Ramon.
Oh yeah.
give us a quick rundown of who was in the Canadian performance. I know it was like James.
Perez was in there. Perez was there. Julio came through as well.
Yeah, Lightest Shade of Brown, Cypress Hill, Jewel.
Damn. Raquel's in the field. Nice.
Nice. Jewel was the girl who sang on a lot of Trey stuff and a bunch of other cats, actually. We sang the hooks on a lot of those songs in the Chronic. Dee Barnes and the Conscious Sisters. Dee Barnes and
the Soul Brothers. They danced with Def Jeff.
Yeah, Soul Brother, Def Jeff. Yeah, he was.
Def Jeff. Yeah, I remember
Soul, Soul Brothers. Shampoo Press.
That was good stuff.
That was good shit. I got it.
Exactly.
But I said Battlecat. Cats. We have to mention Bobcat. Bobcat, Battlecat, Jinx, all of them. Hell, we were there the day that Cube got signed to. NWA. Well, you know how that shit
was. Yeah.
It was the day that happened. Let's just put it like, like
the
that.
Rocky Crew came to
came for appearances.
Clientele came.
Yeah, Clientele, Rocky Crew, and all them came up to Vine.
We didn't see them again.
Yeah, it was at the SIR Studios on Hollywood and Vine. We went to KD Performing Arts. We used to have a rehearsal studio that we would go there and get our shows tight because we do shows around town. So all the recreational centers in impoverished whatever areas.
It was summertime shows. Yeah, it was summertime shows in the rec centers in the parks.
Yeah, the rec centers in the different parks. And so we went through all of them.
But it was supposed to be like.
It was doing Jordan Downs. We was doing Nick's Gardens. We was doing.
I didn't get that.
Oh.
That's what.
Mom's happy for restriction.
They showed up at my house and my mom was like, He's going nowhere. I was like, I gotta go.
Oh yeah, bro. Can D come out?
He's not going anywhere.
What? Yeah. He's gotta go. Like, nah, not for this week at all.
Yeah, man.
What do you expect? But yeah, man. So we went from that era to after all of that and going through Project Blows and going through all of that. Then there was a great period for me. That's when we kind of split ways. I know you guys when you guys went
Ray,
to Atlanta.
Ray kept doing stuff.
Right. I was up with you guys until you went to Atlanta. That's when kind of things like.
That's why you after that because you had the
Trump
and
Mazda. Right. Yeah. That was
the '90s.
Right. That was the '90s doing that stuff. But what happened during the '90s and the era? Leading up to you signing that deal, what led to that?
You're talking about with the one we did with Warner Brothers.
We had a deal with Stray Records, which was distributed through Warner Brothers.
Right.
And that's when I ran back into you guys.
That was 2000.
That was in 2000, right. So what happened between 91 and 2000?
We were putting out music that nobody was hearing, and
CDs, tapes, or what?
No, just making music. Right, and then, got with the crew started to build. It became The Last Kind. It used to be the Lyric Cartel, and it became The Last Kind. The Last Kind was me, Major Clout, Lil Deluxe. There was a dude named Mars Fly. Nick, DJ TMK.
TMK.
But who I saw yesterday for the first time in a long time, that was incredible. And then Baca. We got together and put that record out in 2000, I believe. Okay. Revelations.
Okay. So, you guys put out Revelations, the album.
Right.
And that was with you, Ray. That was with Razor Ramon. He was a major clout.
Yes, sir.
And that was with which that album did you guys were.
Excuse me, I'm just taking a leak.
He's just taking a piss. Let's take a station break.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a station break. Right back. We're gonna wrap it up in about 10 minutes.
You better, I'll ruin your day.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, I'm old school.
So what
come
else?
On, this DJ Jay.
So
want to see your sex?
Fine. All right, so we need to bounce up. What we're going to do is we're going to bounce up. We're trying to bounce up quickly to the albums that you put out, because that's what we're, the albums, the songs that are on the track list, on the playlist that we're doing, are the songs that we're trying to talk about and how those things happen.
Unfold
how you met, how you, you know, the Dave Sparks thing, and that's kind of what we're going to wrap up in the next 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, because we're going there and I went off somewhere else.
That's okay. That's all right. Happy. Yeah,
you're
kings of it, right? I told you. Look, I gave you 10 questions, right? We even got to them, but yo.
You kind of
answered them
in like an
offhand. It's going.
Yeah.
We're going to walk around the corner so it's a little quieter. We got kids on the other side now and shit, so. Hey, what do you think about... I'm thinking, man, because there's so much going back and forth here. Maybe I debut going with the regular voice. I don't know.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, no, that could work, because I think it's going, since there's so many people on this one, it might sound.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
But you're getting into you're telling like old school stories, you know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, you're being more personal on this one. So I think this would be the
perfect episode.
Really, you know what I'm saying? I'm hearing your real voice.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, because I think it'll make it easier too with this production. You know, I'm producing this shit. But,
Yeah, I mean, you could always keep that as like a character or alter ego.
Definitely doing for commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think it fits the mood for right now, though. But the stories are dope. I'm sitting here listening to like dope ass stories. I was rocking with all the, you said D. Barnes. I was like, man, a lot of people don't. I mean, this kind of came up time and time again. Like, well, not time and time, but a few times. But that's who Dr. Dre beat up back in the day. I remember that because she had that rap show. I used to watch that show. I can't remember the name of it. But Dr. Dre was
that D. Barnes. Yeah, they were.
That's why I was like, ooh, D. Barnes, because I was like, damn, he really beat her up.
Yeah, because that's some dumb shit. He's probably hot.
Mm-hmm. It was some dumb shit. See, what people don't remember back in the day, Dre was kind of a bully back in the day. Like, all the fights I heard about Dre get into, it was like, he a big dude, from what I understand. It was like, people that didn't really stand a fair chance.
Nah, he wasn't so big. It was just that he ran with a crew. I mean,
we recording for the show?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck it. I'll just put it out there. Yeah. We had Club Pizzazz, and it was Marina Del Rey. It was 1990-something. And Dre was celebrating his kid's birthday with Michelle, the first child they had. And DOC was there. And everybody was partying. It was a great time. And then, DOC was trying to holler at this chick. She was fine too, but I mean, her husband was right there. You know, and she kept saying, "My husband's here. My husband, no, I can't. You know, I'm home."
Right.
He keeps pulling her, like, "No, come on." And but yeah, man, she walked away to to go to leave with her husband, and he spit on her.
Wow.
Yeah, he spit on her. Spit on her back. And she didn't even flinch. She just kept walking. And, but I know she felt that shit because he got her right in the back, bro.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? And I was like, look at this bitch, motherfucker. That's how I felt anyway. Right. When I saw it. I was like, wow, I'm going to do
that. But it's just fucked up, bro. Man, so we moved on from hated performing arts in that era, and then so you were with Last Kind, did a bunch of joints, and then you put out a solo project.
Okay, so yeah, I'm in LA. I'm going through jobs that I don't like. Take a job in Salt Lake City, move out there. I'm thinking, all right, I'm giving up the music. It's probably 2006. And then Will was like, man, get on this internet shit, you know? Yeah, what are you doing on there? He's like, man, I just put your shit on this MySpace. It was MySpace thing. He said, put your shit on this and these producers are going to get at you, watch. I was like, okay, so I put on a couple songs that I had done with Mega, and sure enough, you know, producers from Scotland and Switzerland and Sweden and all over were like, hey, I wanted to entertain stuff. So, and then I started hearing their beats, and I'm just like, man, these guys are making this kind of beats out there. So, a lot of my production is actually from overseas. I do have production, though, definitely. A lot of it's from overseas.
So what was the first album? Because I remember you did an album with a guy named Macapella.
Yeah, it's from Scotland.
Like the two series as a group with Mac, right?
We did one in 2000. It was done in 2010. And we put out 2011 and... That was called The Burden.
The Burden.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit was, man. Hey, you gotta check out The Burden. That shit was crazy.
You know what was crazy off that album? When we put that out, that's the first time I ever heard one of my songs played on Sirius Satellite. And then Premiere was playing it. And I was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah. That's nice.
Bro, that's not happening. Now, man, you know,
that is
right.
It was a great feeling.
That's that moment.
And, yeah. And so that I hit that mark there. I was like, it actually pumped me to want to write more, and that's why I had that little spree when I put out all that music. So, right.
Because then you put out Sacrifice, which was
no, I put out Rise and Shoot after that.
Really? Okay. I always thought that it was Burden and then Sacrifice.
Burden. Rise and Shoot, that's how I started working. I actually did an EP with Prince Paul in 2008.
Was that in 08?
Yeah, that's called Get Off the Playground. Wow. That was actually what got me back into it. That's when I started realizing I can do stuff on the internet.
Prince
I was
Paul.
Like, okay, I'm gonna start to try to do this again.
And now it's Prince Paul from Organized Confusion, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nice. Hey,
nice.
Prince Paul.
And that album,
yeah, great dude, bro. I mean, I've had conversations with him. He's got a lot of knowledge, bro. You know, he's willing to share with everybody. You know, it's just you know,
I got a question on that album. We're actually going to feature one of the songs on that. You guys wrote a song called 360 Proof.
Right, he's 360 Proof.
360 Proof. Break that down for the audience.
I mean, that's not really it, bro. I heard his voice. I sent him the beat. He sent me back that verse, and he said 360 Proof in one of his lines. I was like, okay, I'm gonna make that the name of the song.
Okay.
I was like, that's. But then we and it just sounded good with that beat too. Believe it or not, this unknown kid by the name of Scarecrow. He made that beat. Kid from Salt Lake City.
Wow, Salt Lake City. He said you don't got homegrown beats too.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
He did most of that. He did that EP, and then it was a collaboration with kids from the UK.
Wow.
And My boy Origin did a beat on there. The Origin. Great animator Origin. Oh
my God, Origin's a freaking beast, bro.
That man is. Yeah.
Guys,
you need to do a. Bro, you guys should do a show with him, man. He's got a lot. He's got a lot to share.
Yeah, man. That sounds dope, man. I'll give you the info on Origin, bro. And yeah, y'all, the audience, I gotta look for that. I'm gonna put something in the notes on that. But Origin is an animator, musician,
whatever.
Like, we're gonna do it. /.
Yeah, comic. Yeah, man. I'm trying to work. That's the other things I'm trying to do. Like, I like to work, like I said.
Yeah.
That's why MCing, I feel, was easy for me, is because I like to write. So, but I'm writing a comic book with Origin right now.
Nice.
He's got some great ideas, too, man. I'm not going to share them right now, but.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that'd be a surprise. I'm going to say right now is the time for, like, independent comic creators, too, man. Just because it's easy to self-publish, and the public is, like, because of Marvel movies, they're, like, digging comics right now. It's mainstream.
I mean, most of the scripts are comic books, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you write a comic that takes off and somebody wants to buy the movie rights, it's already, I forgot what it's called, storyboarded. For them, you know what I'm saying? Like, because when they do movies, they draw storyboards, but it's like already visually there for them. That makes it easier for people to like buy comic books.
Right? Yeah, you should check my dude out, bro. He's actually did a take on the Aliens saga, believe it or not, Ridley Scott started following him on his YouTube channel.
Wow.
I believe it. I believe it.
I can use that.
If you get into right. I feel that because I'm about to go into like left field here, but if you follow the story of Anunnaki and ancient Egypt and all that, that's all the alien story is based on.
Yep. Right. And it's so great.
No, you're right. It's the same concept, but with a twist.
Yeah, Inky and Lil. It's like it's the engineers. It's the same. Right. It's a similar story. He just kind of changed the name.
Yep.
Yeah. But I had a question about. All right, so the song 360 Proof, is that like a like a different version of a 380 Proof? Because when I look up 360 Proof, I don't get results. But now I look up 380 Proof. That shows up.
380? Yes, 380. 380. Oh man,
okay. Bro, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. I wasn't sure if that was like a street single or something that was.
That's called a gelato blunt.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's why we.
Ooh, damn, that's my favorite blunt too.
Exactly. Hey, and I gave the I gave the warning, you know, fair and square up front that I'm sitting there smoking. So on the trip.
Gelato though, that gelato will take you back, bro.
Nice.
You'll get took off that gelato. I know firsthand, bro. I love them because they keep me upbeat. I be absent-minded, but I be goofy as hell on them though.
All right, though. That's why I love the fact checking, man. That's great. That's great. But definitely good shit. So on to the Dave Spool. Now, what's Dave Sparks next? Or
okay, so I'm going to try to give it in a quick synopsis of what the producer saw anyway here. So after I did the MySpace thing, I met Andy Mack through Will Deluxe. Will Deluxe hooked me with him.
Macapella.
And we did The Burden. After that, a label hit me up called DigiCrates, which was run by a group called Huss Kingpin. And he put out he was putting out a lot of music, you know. And I put that out on that, and that came out probably 3 months after. See, I didn't time it right. I should have waited a little bit. I put The Burden out at the end of 2011, and then I came with Rise and Shoot in February of 2012. I gave like 3 months, and then boom, another one. But maybe I didn't. It was a good one because it's people started taking notice.
Yeah, definitely.
What was his name? Kevin Nottingham.
Right.
Bought my album online, and then posted me on one of his contests.
Right, and Kevin Nottingham is out of the UK and does a lot of promotions for hip hop events.
Okay. He was the one that he linked up with a thing called Show and Prove, which was a contest online for to perform at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. And I ended up beating out some kids from Chicago to make it to that. Then they flew me out. They flew me out to New York to do the show. It was basically I had to do my set. Everybody did their set, and then they picked the winner. But whoever won would be on the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. So, but yeah, I didn't win, but it was a great experience. And
that definitely helped push and promote you further. Then the Dave Sparks album comes out. Unfold
comes out after Rise and Shoot, and I put that out in 2012 as well. So it was like I gave him a triple whammy in less than a year. You know,
yeah.
I hit him with the Dave Sparks joint probably in the almost the end of summer. I think it was.
Wow, okay.
And it was like another one.
Man,
yeah, I had a great year that year. It was a good year.
Yeah, we had lots of bangers, lots of great stuff to choose from. And I encourage everybody to go out and check out the catalog of Big Strong. He's how many albums is he?
Oh man, he got because then I put out Sacrifice after Unfold.
That's what Sacrifice.
That came out in 2013.
So there was a 2-album gap between the Macapella albums.
Yeah, that came out in 2013, put out Sacrifice. But yeah, I kept coming with more. 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What else came out? Then there was a lot of features. And then I did that. The last project I put out was December of 2015. And it was with, I take that back. Yeah, no, I don't. The last project that was me putting it out was 2015, December, the Jallow Point album, of the EP, Dangerous Brown EP. Jallow Point is a monster.
Who's he?
He's a producer from London.
Nice.
And he's producing a lot of people right now. Vinny Paz. A lot of people are looking for that guy's beats.
Nice. Okay. And then and shout out to Jallow Point. He's my dude.
Yeah,
I just wanted to, some shine to him. and then we did this next album, which was
after that one was it came out on Easter. Mm-hmm. It was a sneak attack. It came. Because it was under wraps so tight, and but it was the Hellraiser album, Spiritual Scarface,
right?
Which was produced by Melvin Jungle, which is actually a kid from Salt Lake as well. Kid I met out here after I moved out here,
right?
This guy is a genius. If you haven't heard his beats, check out Melvin Jungle.
Shout out to Mel Jungle.
Yeah.
So that album was an album that he was in an accident and were able to come in and help with.
No.
How'd that go?
What happened was, so Jungle was working with him a while ago, years ago, six years ago, I'm gonna say. And it was already after what happened with his aneurysm.
The
brain aneurysm, but he still had vocal files that he wanted to get done. He wanted to get some things done. So Junko put together this album, and it was just kind of at the time it was just kind of there, and he wants to get it done. And he asked Razor. He said, "Hey, would you mind if one of my people puts a rhyme on a song?" And he was like, yeah, yeah, go for it. You know, because, you know, Razor's mad cool. I mean, he's like, yeah, go for it. You know, he'll let you know if you don't like it.
Right.
He's just like, yeah, go do it. You know?
Right.
So, I did the song, I think it was Angel Tears. And basically, he heard that and said, yeah, he's right on topic. Let's do another one. So I did another one called Grandma 77. And then it was like, the response was like, yeah, man, tell him to go ahead and wrap it up. Tell him to go ahead and finish it up. So I ended up going from one song to being on 12 songs. From, you know, Hellraiser from Sons of Man, you know. It was like, that dude is deep, man. That, lyrically, that dude is very deep. So it was like, okay, I had to write.
Definitely. Shouts out.
You know?
Shouts out to Hellraiser 2.
Wings Up, exactly. And Flipside and all of them. But yeah, so I wrote and I gave, it was crazy, but it's funny when you get something that's already, because I was handed a puzzle, and I just had to put the pieces in. So it was so together already because the hooks were there. I mean, I finished that thing in, I finished that album in 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was done. I mean, recorded and out to him, as, you know, done, finished product. And,
doesn't sound like that. It sounds
yeah.
like it was crafted.
Yeah, it was crafted over the years. Yeah. I just got it credit to me. And that something that was crafted over the years.
Right, so you were able to fill in those blanks.
But yeah, that's a great album, man. A lot of people haven't really checked it out, but you should go out and check out Spiritual Scarface. Look up Heaven Razor. It's a dope album. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of good hardcore. It's going to appeal to everybody. You know?
That's right. Look up for the documentary.
Yeah, the documentary. Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the rise of, it's called Risen. I forget the title, but you can find that.
You can Google it. You know what it is. But and then you know what? I forgot though. We skipped one, man. Sound Invariable.
Oh, Sound Invariable. That came out. Oh, you're right. That came out after. And that's a good. That's a. How could I skip that one?
That shit is freaking.
That came
insane.
Out after. That came out before the Giallo Point record, so that was still in 2014. That was my 2014.
Wow. Yeah, check this. Sound Invariable. And the artwork on that is freaking amazing.
Yeah, artwork done by R.Y. Check out R.Y. from Brooklyn. Man, I forget the name of this crew, but they're from Sunpoint, Brooklyn.
Nice.
And they work with Domingo. That's actually how I got to develop him for them. Domingo's a good dude, too, honestly. He's one of them dudes, if you talk to him on a real-to-real level, it's a real-to-real response. You know?
Right.
Like, hey, you know anybody? It's like, yeah, this guy's good.
Nice.
Thank you.
Right. Solid.
But that might have been out of, I'm hoping he likes the music, because this is kind of Maya saying, yeah, I want to do it Domingo.
That's what's up. Love Domingo.
He's gonna be like, yeah, bro, okay, well, I need this much.
Ah.
No, but it's cool.
That's right. You already here first. You already here.
I understand. It's
all good.
That's a record I like.
Nice. I'd love to hear that shit, bro. So, yeah, man, that brings us up to pretty much up to date. What new stuff do you have that you're working on right now? Is there anything new?
Yeah, I got the new Giallo Point album that comes out. The new one is 16 songs.
Wow.
That's an album right there. That was nuts.
Is there a name for the album yet? Or?
No. Okay. But that one's going to be a little different because we're looking at probably doing the final run and some other runs.
Please, man. Please get some vinyl out.
He's going to pitch it out to his people. Because, like I said, if you don't know about Giallo Point, you should look him up. That guy is making moves right now. And I'm blessed to have him as a producer. I'll say that right now.
His name is called G-I-A-L-L-O. Jalopoint.
He's a good dude. I'm just making dope hip hop beats.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's got to big up the real shit. You know?
Right. Hey, that if you do go the vinyl route, is that going to be like limited?
I know he worked. I don't want to put all his business out there, but I know he works a lot of labels.
Okay.
Not labels, but distributors, and a lot of his stuff gets runs. You know, they want to press it.
Okay.
Plus, we put out that EP. I don't know if people need to hear that EP, the Dangerous Ground EP. That was fire.
That's fire. Dangerous Ground EP.
That's features from Sabam Sadiq, Bill Deluxe.
Ooh.
You know, Prince Poe. R.I.P. DJ Daredevil.
Daredevil. Yeah, I didn't know R.I.P. Daredevil passed.
Yeah, man.
I know Daredevil passed.
He DJ'd on the album as well as being a DMC champion. After the record came out, I was talking with him. He wanted to do some remixes, and then he ended up getting telling everybody that he was diagnosed with some type of cancer. And I'm thinking, okay, all right. And and he was gone.
Wow.
And I apologize that I forgot to say the name, but I was burning and I'm old, so my brain doesn't work right sometimes. But R.I.P. DJ Daredevil,
R.I.P. DJ Daredevil.
To have him on that EP was a big blessing. Man, that dude is a world champion. R.I.P.
That sounds like a perfect point to and let this interview end out. Thank you, D Strong, for coming through, man. Thank you for being our full length podcast, full length.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, bro. Hey, man, it's good meeting you, bro.
I enjoyed hearing the stories, bro.
Cool. All right, man. Like, well, thank y'all all for listening in. Thank y'all for coming through. We are To The Tape Pops. I am Stabaka, and we are listening to Capital E and my man Derek Strong.
Strong.